This album's celebrating an anniversary.
Kia ora, my brat.
Kia ora. What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
Oh, wait, no, let's never do that again.
No, okay. We're not. Let's stop right there.
All right, what have we got?
So today we're looking at Aretha Franklin's 1967 record, I Never Loved a Man the Way I Love You, which is turning 50 this year.
Really? Oh, cool.
Yeah. So
it's young.
It is young. 50 years young.
50 years young.
So, so this was Aretha Franklin's 11th studio album. She'd already been singing for a while. She began her singing career singing gospel at her father's church as a child. And then at around 18, she picked up a contract with Columbia Records.
Man, that's young. Yeah.
Very young, yeah. But for that time at Columbia Records, she actually struggled to gain much attention outside of the R&B charts. Her records didn't really sell much or go anywhere. So in 1967, she decided not to renew her contract with Columbia Records. Instead, she signed with Atlantic Records, who were considered to be one of the best labels in America at the time and were quite well known for harnessing sort of talented R&B and soul singers.
So they understood.
They understood, yes. So in January of 1967, Atlantic Records sent her down to a studio in Alabama called Fame Studios. And this was a small studio which was kind of distant from the main music industry, but ended up being a place where many great records were recorded in the 1960s. People like Etta James, Wilson Pickett, Otis Redding, those kind of big-name soul singers all recorded music there. And with this stable of artists came a sound that became known as the Muscle Shoals sound, because Muscle Shoals was the town in Alabama where these studios were.
So, wait, muscle as
muscle,
in like...
as muscle, as muscle, yep.
On my arm.
Yep, and Shoals, that's the name of the place.
That would sound like a cool human name.
Yeah, it would actually, yeah.
Hi, I'm Muscle Shoals. Nice to meet you.
With the studio, they had a house band... they were called the Muscle Shoals Rhythm Section, also known as the Swampers, and they were kind of, they were part of this kind of sound that they created down there. And of course, at this time, a lot of the well-known sort of studios like Motown and Stax Records had these house bands, which were kind of essential to the sounds they created at these different studios. And that's where you had people like the Funk Brothers at Motown and the Marquees at Stax Records. So the Muscle Shoals Rhythm Section was just another one of those bands that were quite important in kind of getting a sound, a certain sound to a certain studio.
Mm,
yeah. Mm. And they were instrumental in creating this kind of funky soul sound, which you'll hear on this album, which Aretha recorded here at the Fame Studios. And the sound that they managed to create with Aretha, as I was saying, is kind of a swampy, soulful blues, very southern soul R&B style, quite similar to what Stax Records were doing at the time, who were another southern label, but quite different from what Motown were doing, which is still quite more pop soul oriented. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of, you're in the South, so very much blues, Delta blues, the home of the blues, and they incorporated that with kind of the soul aspect of it as well. And you'll definitely notice that on a lot of the tracks we play from this record. But also Aretha brought her gospel singing experience into the recording of this record as well, particularly when she sings ballads. She's really got that powerful kind of gospel voice. And of course, that would have been developed as she was growing up singing for her father in the church.
Singing for the Lord.
That's
where the best voices come from.
Absolutely, yeah. So it really was a melting pot of different styles on this record, bringing in all the influences that she'd heard and that the musicians she was playing with had heard. And they kind of, built that sound around her voice. And it also helped that Atlantic Records' successful producer, Jerry Wexler, produced this album. He was one of the big people responsible for the success of a lot of the rhythm and blues and soul artists in the 50s and 60s. He was a big proponent of putting sort of black artists out there and encouraging them. And he was a big part of Aretha Franklin's success with Atlantic Records.
Cool.
So I thought we'd start by playing the title track off the record, I Never Loved a Man the Way I Love You. And this was actually the first big hit of Aretha's career, and a track that really got her known outside of just the soul and R&B communities. It went to number 9 in the Billboard pop charts, which was her kind of first hit, because previously she'd only ever had, I think, 2 tracks in the top 40 on the Billboard charts.
Yeah, yeah.
So this was kind of like her first kind of major success.
And,
top 10, yeah. And immediately you heard that kind of blues, bluesy soul feel, southern soul sound, which the Muscle Shoals band provides on this album. So,
Awesome. Start with.
Oh, it's one of her well-known songs, and yeah, it's a classic. It's still that bluesy Southern soul style. Yeah, classic. But the next track we're going to play is quite different from that track. It's called Don't Let Me Lose the Stream. This one has more of a jazzy feel to it in terms of melody and tempo, but also kind of like a Latin samba feel in the rhythm. And of all the tracks on this record, I think this one is probably the most stylistically different from the overall sound, and very much like... if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, we looked at Stan Getz's record.
Yeah.
And, you know, the bossa nova and all that. And I think this track's got some bossa nova feel to it, particularly in the guitar playing and the rhythm. There's definitely a samba-style rhythm going on here. So, yeah, very, very different. You're holding your finger up at me. What's going on?
Nothing, bro.
Nothing, bro? Okay.
Just got this here, bro. Just got the song here, bro.
There it is.
I don't know.
Man, there's so much going on in that song.
There is. So many different influences, so many kind of rhythms and tempos and backing vocals. It's great.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. But the next track we're going to play, again, is very different from the previous two. This is when she kind of goes down the ballad route, which she's quite well known for. This track's called Baby, Baby, Baby. And she's a bit of a master of the soul ballad, both vocally with her big gospel vocals, but also her piano playing, which people kind of forget about. She's a great piano player. And you were saying just before, when she plays nowadays,
she owns it.
She
does.
She's got a big fur coat and she bangs those keys. It's like...
What I like about it is that her shoulders are like grooving, but like she looks cool. You know, usually you see a pianist play like classically and it's like quite restrained. You know, there's a posture. She's just got her own swagger to it. Like she's got this big jacket and she's just like, I know who I am. Yeah. Like, let's do this. Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
And you'll definitely hear some of her piano playing on this track. And also, interestingly, this track was actually co-written with her younger sister, Caroline, who also sings backing vocals on this track. Yeah, so this is Baby, Baby, Baby.
Note at the end, eh?
Yeah.
Like she's screaming in she's, tune.
Yeah, and it's a nice kind of falsetto going on. And there's also some interesting chord changes in that song.
Yeah.
I like a good chord change, which is quite different, you know. Yeah. So that was Baby, Baby, Baby. And we're going to continue on this sort of ballad, soul ballad theme with the next track, which is called Dr. Feel Good. And this has more of a southern blues feel to it, but still in that kind of ballad style. She brings in more of a gospel flavour to this track in her vocals. And again, her piano playing is very much a standout on this track. Yeah.
Oh! because company's all right with me every once in a while. Yes, it is. I tell you, I don't mind company, because company's all right with me every once in a while. Send me no doctor, filling me up with all of those pills. I got me a man named Dr. Feelgood. It all, yeah, that man takes care of all of my pains and my ills. His name is Dr. Feelgood.
That is the beautiful Aretha Franklin, who's our anniversary album.
Yeah, and you were saying, it sounded like she was saying Dr. Phil.
Yeah, Dr. Phil, how about that?
That would have been pretty cool if it was. Yeah. Also, I don't know if Dr. Phil has been around that long.
If you do want to text in, you can. 5395. Our phones are being really funny at the moment, so don't try and call us because it's just not working.
No, it's not.
It's weird. Every single time I pick it up, it just hangs up. Weird.
Strange that.
Yeah, no. Anyway.
Anyway, technology.
Technology.
And the next track we're going to play is a cover. And it's a cover of a very well-known track by Sam Cooke, another great soul singer. His classic track, Good Times. And it was common amongst the soul community in the 1960s to cover each other's records. You'd often see many of the soul standards, like this track, appearing on different people's albums. And Aretha really puts her own spin on this track, turning it into from a kind of soul kind of doo-wop number into a more of a bluesy, raw bluesy soul track. It's quite different from Sam Cooke's version, but it's really, really good.
I love her versions of songs.
She's good.
She can do whatever she likes.
Thank you.
Yes.
So much soul, so much blues. Oh.
I'm having such a good Monday.
It's so good. Thank you. It's just
thank you for highlighting Aretha Franklin. Love this.
It's just such a good way to start the week. A bit of Aretha, man.
You know, one of the first kind of compilation CDs that I ever bought was Aretha Franklin. I was like about 12 years old. And when I first listened to her like whole double disc thing,
yeah,
I cried.
Oh, wow.
The whole way.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Cool.
So, yeah, thank you.
No worries.
This is great.
Oh, it's good. Soul music has that effect on people. It's soul music. It just lifts you up. It's great.
It's part of the diet.
It is. It just feeds you. So, just looking at the reception and the wider legacy around this record. So, like I was saying at the start of the segment, this album is considered to be Aretha's commercial breakthrough after she tried for years and years and years to make it. It went to number 2 in the Billboard charts and set up a bit of a golden run for her commercially over the next 2 to 3 years. The record itself also went gold for selling around 500,000 copies. So it was a big record for her, and the reviews were mostly positive, although Rolling Stone magazine didn't like it at the time, which is interesting, because years later they actually would rank it number 1 in their list of Women in Rock 50 Essential Albums. But at the time they said it lacked versatility and the production lacked polish, and they also had a go at the house band, saying the drums weren't hard enough and the guitar was weak.
Yeah, because everything sounds bad when it's completely and utterly new.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Like, what is this rubbish?
Well, you know, what credibility does they have anyway?
Yes.
But what is this magazine?
What is this magazine? Who are these people?
They don't know
what
Aretha. They don't know anything. No.
So yeah, they backtracked on that years later.
No, they redeemed themselves,
they
obviously,
did. They
so
did.
That's fine.
Yep. So the album did create a lot of hype around Aretha, and although she'd been around for years, this would have been the first time a lot of people had heard her music. Particularly if you didn't really listen to R&B or soul music, this is kind of like this crossed over into like quote unquote the mainstream, or you know, white audiences, so to speak. So it was as if she was a new artist on the scene, and in many respects it was her second coming, I guess, and a chance to finally get the recognition that she, you know, very much deserved. And now her legacy in popular music is pretty much assured. She's generally considered to be one of the greatest singers of all time.
She is.
And this album played a large part in that, and also her influence in soul and R&B is immense, and I'm sure most singers within these styles of music who have come since her would have been influenced in some way by her.
In many respects. She's like one of the first Queen divas to ever pop out.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's Dusty Springfield who was around at the time, but she was on a different... Like, they did Son of a Preacher Man, both of them did their own versions.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But, yeah.
And Etta James. All those singers, yeah.
Yeah.
Diana Ross, of course.
Diana Ross is a Queen diva. Who else? Eartha Kitt,
of course. Yeah, Dionne Warwick.
Yes.
Of course, Aretha also went on to get labeled.
So one of the first.
Labeled the Queen of Soul. That kind of became her tagline.
Yes,
as
Queen
well.
Of Soul.
The Queen of Soul, yeah. So with that, I thought we'd finish with probably her signature song. Definitely one of her most well-known songs, Respect.
Oh.
Of course. Originally recorded and written by Otis Redding, actually. Comes back to that idea of how they all covered each other's songs.
That's beautiful, yes.
Same with Son of a Preacher Man is another example of that. And this was a massive hit. This went to number 1 in the Billboard charts. It also earned her 2 Grammy Awards in 1968.
Oh, wow.
And... our favourite magazine again, Rolling Stone, voted it fifth greatest song of all time. And the Recording Industry of America included it in their list of the songs of the century.
Yeah, just lost their minds
they
over
did.
This. Yeah,
they did. It just blew
track.
Up and it was like, she's here.
I'm
respect.
Still losing my mind over
Put
this
some respect
track.
On my name.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you think of Aretha, this is definitely one of the songs that comes to mind immediately.
All right.
Yeah, it's a classic. And it became a bit of a feminist anthem as well.
Yeah.
For black women, but also a white woman as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for coming in.
Oh, always a pleasure.
And,
always a pleasure.
See you next week.
You will.
All right.
Ka kite anō.
Ka kite. We'll be right back.
happy anniversary to that album.
Happy anniversary.